This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Glad you could be with us. Monday, the AP College Football Poll was basketball poll was released. And look, I don't take a lot of stock in the top 25. It fluctuates up and down. And I know people get interested in seeding. We get closer and closer to the tournament, and the bracketologists come out, and this loss could affect this seeding, and this loss could also affect their placement in the tournament, whether or not a West team goes east to play in that region, or an East team goes west to play in that region. But it was really interesting, and there was a little bit of topsy-turviness in some of the games that were played last week in terms of losses. You know, Duke lost, San Diego State lost. Baylor dropped a spot. Gonzaga dropped a spot after their loss. San Diego State did too. So did Duke. Maryland dropped two spots. Auburn dropped two spots. Penn State dropped seven spots. As I mentioned earlier, West Virginia, they plummeted a couple of spots as well. Look, but in the end, you're talking about a 68-team field. And this is something that I'm going to probably reiterate a number of times during up until Selection Sunday and even after Selection Sunday. Look, I know there's a lot of college basketball teams out there. There's over 300 Division I teams, and they're all vying for 68 spots in the tournament. And some, no matter how good their year is, right, no matter how many wins they're racking up, they're not getting in unless they win their conference tournament. Some of the smaller schools, like out of the America East or whatnot, you're not going to get an at-large bid in some of these conferences, and everybody knows that. So even if you're rolling along and throttling your opponents, if you stumble in the conference tournament in semifinals or even in the quarters, it's bye-bye tournament hopes, and you're off to either maybe the NIT, CBI, or these other tournaments that are happening, you know, outside the big dance. But for a lot of these schools that are playing in the major conferences, right, and even some of the major mid-majors, right, there is, if you're good enough, if you're up in the upper echelon, you're getting in. It does matter where you are, where you're seated and whatnot. But this is the one thing I always say. If you can't get into this thing, I don't want to hear you complain. There's too many slots available. I know it hurts when you're a fan, and I know it hurts when you struggle with injuries, but it's just not the same when I hear constant complaining about how the committee did a certain team wrong because they went 19-11. Like, you know, maybe pop some more wins down the stretch, all right? Just save your complaining.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you could be with us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, here on a Tuesday. So listen, I don't want to be misconstrued here. It's not that I don't have sympathy for your team if you can't get into the NCAA tournament. It's just that it's not outrageous, okay? Like college football sets itself up for an outrage, right? Like, we've seen it before where you have remember the first year of the college football playoff when TCU and Baylor were always in? Always in. That couldn't decide between one or the other. And then the Big 12 said, because at the time, the Big 12 didn't have a championship game. So they were just like, they're co-champions, right? And the committee went, yeah, we like Ohio State. Yeah, you know, they beat Wisconsin. Ohio State went on to win the national title. But you could, if you were a fan of one of those two teams, you could be, you know, really justifiably up in arms that you didn't get one of the four slots. You were in the whole time.
I don't know about you. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm wrecked.
Still wrecked?
For when my team doesn't get in.
Well, which is your team?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm just being that guy.
So
those guys are out there.
They're out there all the time.
Their whole life is ruined for that moment.
Here's the thing, right? I remember when I was with the Air Force basketball, I covered Air Force, right, and was part of the broadcast teams and whatnot. And we would, you know, I remember one year, Air Force under Jeff Buzdelic went to the NIT, and they went to the NIT semifinals.
And, you know, they progressed all the way through the NIT tournament, winning their home games. I think they won one road game, and they got to New York City, and they were in the semifinals. But I also was part of the Air Force program when they went to two NCAA tournament berths, and they lost one to North Carolina and the other one to Illinois. And I remember sitting with the SID one day, and I said, let me ask you a question. What gave you guys more exposure and mileage? Making this run in the NIT, where you got to New York City, played in the semifinals of one of the most historic tournaments. It was the NCAA tournament before the NCAA tournament, the NIT. Or one game, one shot, Thursday night, boom, in and out of the NCAA tournament. He said, without question, the NCAA tournament. Without question. It's not even close. And he goes, even with the amount of games, even with the, you know, hey, look, they played, they won, we advanced. He goes, the one shot you get in the NCAA tournament, even when you lose, the stage is dramatically bigger. It's even bigger than being at Madison Square Garden for the semifinals of a respectable afterthought tournament. I mean, the NIT is not this one of these corporate created things. Actually, that have come in recent years.
It was the original tournament.
It was the original tournament. Like I said, it was the NCAA tournament before the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And it, you know, but the grand stage of the NCAA. So I get it when fans are seeing their team go back and forth with wins and losses, and they're on the bubble, and guys like Joe Lenardi, you know, the bracketologists out there have got them in some weeks and out some weeks and in some weeks and out some weeks, and they might have one quality win, the one big win against the one team in the conference that was really tough to beat, and they pulled it off on a Saturday in February. But I go, look, I'm not going to shed tears if you don't get in. If you're a bubble team, get out of the bubble, right? Figure out a way to get out of the bubble, win some more games. And I know it's harder to do. Sometimes some teams have injuries. Arkansas is a perfect example of this. Arkansas may not get into this thing unless they put off an amazing run, because Isaiah Joe, one of their top scorers, has been out for a good chunk of change. And while he was out, they lost five straight. Right, they started off like gangbusters, started off the season really strong, and then they struggled. With him out of the lineup, they struggled, and it was hard to get some wins. And now he's back. He scored 21 against Missouri. It looks like he might be able to maybe fix the ship up enough where they can down the stretch, maybe get a few more wins, make a run in the tournament, and maybe just pray that they get one of the at-large bids. Maybe. But I doubt it, because the damage may have already been done. That was a bad five-game losing skid. And so I understand some of the team's faults in that regard, but I just, with the tournament so big, I can't feel outraged by it. That's my point, because they're, you know, it's 68 teams, and I know some of them are automatic slots. I get it. You know, there's like 30 automatic slots, but still there's a lot of teams they pick from, and yeah. You know, you just keep winning and figure it out.
You get disappointed at the beginning.
Sure you do.
You know, I wish that school would have made it. I wish this one would have made it. That blah, 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 going back and forth. But at the end of the day, once the tournament officially kicks off, I'm sorry, I still don't know what to think about the first four.
Of course. Yeah, I know, right? Right.
But once the tournament, that first Thursday, once it kicks off, I immediately forget who was on the bubble again.
Right. Totally. No doubt. Because it doesn't, it's.
Because at that point, it doesn't matter.
There's three major sports in this country, where the postseason is decided by committee, right? Every other sport in the professional ranks has a system in which you get to the postseason, right? You got to win your division. If you don't win your division, you got to be a wild card. In the NBA, you got to be one of the top eight teams in the conference by record, right? You know, whatever. There's a system in place. Baseball's the same way, right? There's college baseball, college basketball, college football, where there's a committee that determines, you know, whether or not you get in. And I follow college baseball a little bit, not too much, and I know that there's some people who scream and holler about the selection committee for that.
Yes, but I even that, hear you.
Yeah, but we don't, you know, whatever. But college football has got, I mean, there's a legitimate gripe, right? Like whether it's like an undefeated UCF team that's like, well, why can't we get in? Right? Yeah. You mean to tell me we have got this on our resume. Last year we beat this team, and now you're telling us we still can't get in even though we beat all of our teams and beat them by 30 points.
But a two-loss Alabama does?
Right, exactly. So you get those circumstances because it's very limited. There's only four. If you're telling me that, again, if you're Syracuse, let's say, and you're in the middle of the ACC, I think they're 8-8, you know, look, it's we can't take everybody. Yeah. I mean, you know,
it's not
like,
your year.
It's not your year.
At least it's one of these situations where North Carolina's made it easy this year.
Well, sure, right?
Because North Carolina's not a good team, but if they were able to squeak out a few wins here or there, would it would be almost a travesty for them to get in.
Yeah, right.
You know?
And there has been a couple of historical selections where, like, Jay Billis and Dick Vitale are like, wait, somebody please explain to me how this team got a bid, right?
Yeah.
There's been those kind of scenarios where they go right to the committee guy and they asked him flat out, like, why is this team in?
I guarantee right now with San Diego State being fifth overall, and there's still potential for a number one seed that people will be up in arms over that.
Oh, of course. Yeah, because that's a bad – I'm sorry. That's a bad loss. UNLV is a bad loss.
That's a bad loss.
It's a bad loss.
But it's still a really good team.
Yeah, they're really good. I mean, they're one of the best defensive units in the country, right? I mean, they're one of the best defensive teams in the nation.
And it's almost like we can't give excuses for having a bad day.
Well, and San Diego State, listen, like you know, in college football, we talked about Clemson all year, right? Like, they have a one loss, and obviously we're talking apples and semi-apples because we're talking about San Diego State being a potential number one seed in a region, not actually getting in. But with Clemson, we said, look, if they had a loss, you know, there's no wiggle room there. They might actually not be one of the top four.
Yeah.
San Diego State is trying to be one of the top four number one seeds in the region. It's a bad home loss to UNLV, but at the same time, they're not. I think they get a little bit. There's a little benefit of the doubt on their part. I think they get a little bit of wiggle room, but you look at the carnage of what happened this weekend. There's some other teams got some splaining to do. Provo's a tough place. Look, I wouldn't want to play BYU in Provo, and Gonzaga lost there, right? I mean, you know, Baylor has two losses on the season, but losing to Kansas is nothing to worry about. That's
right.
Kansas.
That's Kansas.
Right? I mean, you're Baylor, they're Kansas, you're the top two teams in the Big 12. One of you was going
top,
to win. It's
top
no...
Take it a step further, top two teams in the nation.
They're top two teams in the nation right now, right?
You know, I mean, you just, all they really did, I mean, what, Kansas going into that game was three?
Yeah.
Right?
That's
right. This is basically flip-flop.
Yeah, flip-flop, exactly. So, you know who's on the rise, though, is playing really good? Kentucky.
Yeah, of course they are.
Kentucky's playing good basketball right now.
Turning it on at the right time.
So, again, listen, as a guy who roots for the South Carolina Gamecocks who don't always get into this thing, sometimes they do, not all the time, I have had my moments of disappointment where I was told by many people who know this that the Gamecocks are locked to get in, no problem. They did this. They got this win over Florida. They got this win over LSU, and their record isn't that bad, and Selection Sunday comes and no South Carolina whatsoever. So I've been disappointed, but I've never been outraged, because in the end they needed a win or two. They needed a few more wins. And so you asked your team to do it next year, get a few more wins. So that's it. My favorite thing about Selection Sunday is what I love when you get the kids that know they're going in. Right. When the camera's on them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, okay, let's say you're Vermont. Okay. And you're Vermont. You win the conference. I think they're in America East. You win the America East. Right. And so, like, Greg Gumbel is in the studio and he's like, and they're going to play the Catamounts of Vermont. And then they show Vermont and they all scream and holler as if they just won the lottery. They know they're going in. They're just waiting to figure out who they're going to play and where they're going to go. But they act like they've been selected, right? They've been chosen. We're not going to be disappointed when we leave this room. We know we're in. That's always funny to me. But
I love ones for a team that, like Vermont, like you're pointing out, they know they're going in. So, you know, have their opponent announced, and they all sit back and go,
oh, that would be great, wouldn't it?
God.
Wouldn't it be great?
It's not who we wanted.
Yeah, like, oh, the top-ranked Kansas Jayhawks will go up against Vermont. And the kids are like, oh, damn. Oh, yeah. Shoot.
Yeah, we're one and
God,
done.
I thought we'd get, like, Utah State or something. God, really? Jeez. Kansas. Well, thanks for making that trip short.
Now, full disclaimer, we're just picking on Vermont. They're not going to be a 16 seed.
No.
Just for our listeners out there who are going to start complaining, like, Vermont has a better resume.
Vermont is good. Yeah. Anthony Lamb is a good player. I know him.
We know that they're going to probably be like a 13. They could be a 12.
Right, maybe. You know, who knows? Who knows, selecting all this stuff. All right, it's SB Nation AM and SB Nation Radio. And your thoughts on that on it at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, or 800-224-2004. All right, coming up, I'll give hockey its due. It had a pretty good story. That's next.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, save big during the O'Reilly Auto Parts Power Torque Tools DIY Stays Sale. With great deals on socket sets, wrenches, and more. And if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you need the right tools for the job, and this is your opportunity. Right now, get a 57-piece quarter-inch drive ratchet socket and bit set for just $24.99, plus double O rewards points, which means you'll get to your next reward even faster. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. I still have not relented on my daughter's request to go see Billie Eilish. I won't let her go. I may be a bad father, but I'm not going to let her go see Billie Eilish.
Are you a bad guy?
Well, don't you think, like, my daughter's 14? Should I be relaxed with this kind of stuff? I mean, I don't think she can get tickets anyway, but I don't know. I don't pay attention.
How's she paying for it?
Oh, if she could get in, my wife would probably pay for it.
Why wouldn't she be able to get in?
I don't know if they're sold out. Like, I don't know. Okay. Like, I don't know the status of it. I don't know if she could go.
I can't remember the last time I bought a concert ticket.
I haven't gone to a concert in a long time. I haven't gone to do you remember when we used to be on the phone over and over again? We used to dial up.
Oh, I remember going to a Tower Records.
Yes, I remember that too.
Standing outside a Tower Records to buy my tickets because that was the only way you can get them.
When I was in college, my buddy and I wanted to go see Rush at the Worcester War Memorial Auditorium in Massachusetts.
You just made that name up.
Ah, it was great. Good venue. Saw Eric Clapton there too. Anyway, Rush was playing, and I remember being on the phone. Like, we'd literally set the speed dial, and we'd go beep, 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 beep. Nope. Beep, 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 beep. And then you'd get in and you'd be like, oh, I got in. And then you'd get the credit card out, get those tickets. I remember those days. Now I don't know how kids. I'm not trying to play old guy, doesn't know technology. If you told me it was the internet, I'd know how to do it. But I don't know how you get. Do you go online as soon as the tickets are available and try to click in and do that?
I guess. I've seen some people take the social media to complain.
Or brag
that they got in the door.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, because
I have no idea.
If tickets go on sale at 10, remember you used to be lined up on your phone. When tickets go on sale at 10, are you just ready to click?
Or I guess so. I have no idea. I don't even bother looking at that. I'm like, I'll look at the secondhand market or third party vendors and probably pay more than I need to. But I don't see the hassle of, oh, I need to see this band so bad. I need to be here. When do tickets go on sale? 10 a.m.? Okay, I'm going to hit click right at 10 a.m.
Like, yeah.
I'll wait.
Yeah, there was a period of time in my younger days where I saw Jethro Tull in concert. I saw U2. I saw Elton John at the Boston Garden, which was fantastic. You ever seen Elton John in concert?
No.
He's amazing. And back then he was a little elder statesman, Elton John, and he was still great.
I'm trying to remember the last concert I went to.
I saw U2 at Foxborough.
Man, you've gotten around.
Yeah, Foxborough. You know what? I always have a funny story about concerts. The Rolling Stones are coming to Nashville. And I remember my freshman year at South Carolina, a buddy of mine was going to see the Stones play at Williams-Brice Stadium. And I remember he said, well, you never know when they're going to tour again, so you might as well go see them now. That was 30 years ago.
You keep saying that year after year after year.
That was like 30 years ago.
They're going on tour again, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to be in Nashville.
Yeah.
And I feel like I got to tell my friend, I contact him and say, you know, you'll never guess who's coming in, who's on tour still. Because he literally, back then it was like, we're going to go see our dad's band. We liked the Rolling Stones, but that was our father's band.
Of course.
Right? And so we were just like, oh, you never know. You know, it's the 80s, right? 90s. Now, what are you
going
to do?
Now there's going to be some people going, like, oh, my grandfather was really into these.
Right. I know. I know. Completely. completely. You could go to a Rolling Stones concert and be like, holy cow, that, I mean, like four generations could go see the Rolling Stones.
I mean, for the Stones, you know, one of the questions I would ask Mick Jagger, is he as excited now when bras get thrown up on stage?
Yeah, or does he just, yeah, or does, or he go, like, ah, oh, that's, it's 50 years ago, man.
Yeah, or, you know, does he look at that and go, yeah, I'm not that size.
Yeah. You know, I, and then I've, I saw Tom Jones in Vegas and Wayne Newton, you know, so,
well,
I don't know.
I guess now,
but since then,
the
I haven't gone. I loved Wayne Newton. I wanted to go see him so bad, and I got to meet him. It was one of the great things I've given my wife over the years is an opportunity to meet Wayne Newton, and Wayne Newton kissed her hand in an introduction, and it was really sweet because
and
my
you
wife
lost her for the night, didn't you?
Well, yeah, and here was the cool thing: right. My wife wasn't as familiar with him, you know, like she, you know, and so we went to go see him, and he did a great show, and then I was at this radio media party for a golf tournament. And there was all these celebrities there, and Wayne Newton was there. And, you know, we asked if we could, you know, I could talk to him for a little bit. And, like, literally, he, like, said, you know, who's this lovely lady? And I introduced my wife, and he took her hand, and he kissed her. Lori, so couldn't have been nicer. Couldn't have been nicer.
So everyone always has them. What's the best concert and worst concert you've been to?
The best concert I went to, God, I've been to a few. I got to tell you, the one that I still think about every now and then was Eric Clapton did a tour where it was an acoustical tour, and I really loved it. I really loved it. He didn't come out with the electric guitar and play Layla and all that stuff. He literally had it was at the time where acoustic performances were kind of big, and I really enjoyed it. Good music, good stories. It was one of those where he was just sitting on a stool, playing his guitar, playing some great songs that, you know, you remember, he was telling great stories about being, you know, with the Yardbirds and all, you know, the bands, Derek and the Dominoes and all of that. The worst one I went to, and it has nothing to do with the band. It has everything to do with the venue. I went to see U2 in the Zoo Station tour in the early 90s, and it stunk because I didn't have a good seat, and I just couldn't hear and see very well, and, you know, just whatnot. And so it wasn't, I didn't leave the stadium overwhelmed, like, right, watching U2. And I like U2, and I liked U2 then, but, you know. But I'll tell a quick funny story. When I was in high school, I had a friend who had, like, a couple of older brothers, and they used to always pick on us all the time. Every time I'd go over to his house to hang out, his older brothers used to pick on us all the time. But as we got a little older, you know, Frank Zappa, you remember Frank Zappa?
Yeah, of course.
He was playing in Portland. And my friend said, hey, my brother Tony wants to take us to see Frank Zappa. And I was like, and I remember begging my parents. And I was young, I was like maybe 16 at the time. And I said, can I go to Portland and see Frank Zappa with Dana and Tony and whatnot? And my parents said, okay, you know, you can go. Cause they knew the family really well. So they knew we were going to be okay. And I'll never forget sitting. I was in Portland, Maine, listening to Frank Zappa. And I'll never forget, I looked at my friend and I said, that cigarette smells funny. And my friend said, yeah. So that was my first experience.
First exposure.
First exposure.
Lost your innocence to Frank Zappa. Yeah,
to the underground world of what was going on at Frank Zappa concerts.
That's funny.
So that was it. So I don't go to them anymore. I don't know if it's I'm getting older and I just don't want to go. You know, like, I'm just like, oh, the parking and the hassle and whatnot. But I'd see Fleetwood Mac tomorrow if they came to town. I mean, I'd go see them.
Yeah,
I like them a lot. I'd go see some older bands.
Yeah, the bands I would see now are, you know, the true musician type,
right,
style bands,
right,
where, you know, everyone's playing an instrument. They can actually sing. They're the singer-songwriters. I'm not a big fan of the cookie cutters that are coming out today.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, if somehow somebody online says, I got two tickets to the Rolling Stones and I can't go, and I want, you know, decent money for them, I might actually reach out to them and go, all right, I might buy those.
Of course.
I might buy those. But was I on the finding out when the tickets went on sale, ready to click?
No.
Nah, I wasn't ready.
No, you weren't ready for that.
I wasn't ready to do that. So, but, you know, concerts are fun, man. Concerts are fun. Good, the bad, and the dumb. It's coming up next on SB Nation Radio and SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, so good, the bad, and the dumb, the Tuesday edition. I don't know if it's different from the Monday edition or the Friday edition or the Thursday edition, but it's an edition nevertheless, so what's the good of the day?
Well, it's usually different because it's Tuesday.
That's true, it is Tuesday.
A lot of times I try to throw in a two for Tuesday.
Oh, nice.
So depending on the time, we might have two goods.
Oh, good.
The first good of the day, which I know you'll be excited for as well, because it's probably a big waste of time, but the NFL is considering doing away with the challenging the pass interference calls.
Oh, yeah, that didn't really work out this year, did it?
I mean, they're bringing it back to the table. They might just get rid of it altogether. They might tweak it. I don't know what they can do to tweak it. You know, I mean, I think, what, one call was overturned last year?
Yeah, it was like, we want to do this, but we're not really ready to just open the Pandora's box of fun.
Exactly. I think they were all hoping, like, you know, the call that we'll do is that Saints one.
Right. Right.
Where it's so egregiously missed that this one's a no-brainer. I think that's what they were waiting for. They never got it. It was always these, I think that was pass interference. Nah, it wasn't.
Yeah, good.
Oh, that wasn't pass interference. Yeah, it was.
If you're going to do it, you got to be open to the scrutiny of it. And I don't know. I just never felt like the league was really comfortable with that kind of openness to overturning these kind of things. I just didn't think they wanted to expose themselves to the sort of ineptitude of that particular call.
Right.
Right. Like, I mean, if you had a ton of them that were overturned, it'd be like, well, okay, what exactly are these officials looking at?
Exactly.
Like, why is it that every time a challenge is made on a judgment call like this, it's always going in the opposite direction? Are we training these guys right? I mean, how exactly are these games officiated? And I didn't think the league was ready to go that far down the rabbit hole.
Not only that, or, you know, if there's one officiating crew that constantly has their calls overturned.
Right.
Versus another officiating crew. It's like, okay, well, what's wrong with that crew? And then you start to develop, I mean, yeah, already, you know, coaches and players have a bias against certain officials. I mean, you can't not help that.
Yeah. But then imagine if Major League Baseball put together a system where an umpire, balls and strikes, right? Like, an umpire would call balls and strikes. And the computer would override any time the umpire just got it wrong.
Right.
Right. And then Major League Baseball was like, this guy he's got like 60% of his calls right because the computer is saying it. I think that's what the NFL was looking at. They were looking at a system where every now and then the officials were going to get exposed. And if you put more exposure on the officials, you'd be like, wait a minute, our games aren't even on the up and up.
No, I think they were just looking for an answer because of the fallout from the Saints Rams debacle.
Yes. Yeah.
They were like, oh, the NFL was being pressured. Like, you guys got to do something.
Yeah,
how did
no
you
kidding.
Miss that call?
Exactly. Exactly.
So that's, you know, so, I mean, it could be done away with, which is a good thing because
it's a good thing.
I think it was a wasted challenge all season long.
Me too.
I
mean, me too.
Like I said, I think one was overturned.
Good point.
Out of, you know, I don't know, maybe the 100 or 70s. I think at least the 70s, in the 70s, right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
I don't know. Yeah. The other good of the day is The Mandalorian.
The television show on Disney Plus, the Star Wars show on Disney Plus.
If you remember it's okay to talk about the season finale part now.
Baby
right?
Yoda.
You've seen the season finale.
Yep.
You remember Giancarlo Epstein or Esposito's final scene? He was sitting there and he was holding the darksaber.
Yes.
And everyone went, you know, every Star Wars nerd across the country shouted out in glee.
Yes, who know about this through the extended universe.
Yes, well, apparently he also was on a panel or an interview or something and said that there will be more lightsaber battles now.
Oh, good.
In The Mandalorian, which I'm excited for just because of the way this show had been filmed. It was like really gritty, really raw.
Right.
That I don't think we're going to get hokey, futuristic battles. We're going to get actual, like, swords play.
Good. That'll be kind of cool. By the way, he plays a very good villain.
He does.
He was Gus Fring on Breaking Bad.
Yeah, there are certain people who revel on that road. Yeah. Role, don't they?
He was very nefarious in Mandalorian too. He's very good at that.
Yeah.
He's very good. His facial features, the way he has that calm anger, where he has a facial expression of being very, very angry, but very, very calm at the same time. Like, I'm going to do something really bad. but it's very justified because I've thought it out.
He'd be one of those that every once in a while you see on an article, you know, guys who you love to hate.
Yes.
Type of thing, like, you know, or TV characters, movie characters that you love to hate. I mean, he would be on there. I put him up there with the lady who played Dolores Umbridge in the Harry Potter films.
Yeah, that's true.
Can't stand her.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right.
Voldemort,
so
I have feelings for, but her, no.
Yeah. So what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is you knew it was going to happen, but you can go on eBay right now and buy some of the materials, the items that were given out at the Kobe Bryant Memorial Service.
You can't. Oh, they gave away T-shirts.
T-shirts. There was a full picture booklet of Kobe and Gigi's life
that
you can find. There was a pin, a ceremonial pin as well. Yeah, you take the eBay. You can go ahead and spend your hard-earned money and buy some of these items.
Real quick, I did not know about this. I didn't even research this. How did people get into this?
I think it was a lottery. I actually had a friend of mine, a kid who I used to coach in soccer a long time ago, way back in the day. He got in.
He got in?
Yeah, you were put on a wait list.
Oh, okay.
And then if your number was called in, you got to go. And so they got to go.
Wow.
And I don't know. This seems to me, I know there's a market for it and people would want to buy this type of stuff, but it just seems to me that you shouldn't sell.
Shouldn't sell it.
So you those just, type of things.
Just people
shouldn't
just
profit, you know, off of it. That's,
yeah, I know.
Basically what it is.
I know. Especially, I don't know, like to if I'm going to go to that, I'm going to go to that to make because it's special to me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep all that stuff because it's special to me.
And to a larger extent, that's the problem with LA.
Right.
You know,
well, you
I've
know
said
better
this,
than me.
I've said this for years and years and years that the true Laker fans are the ones you never see on TV. They're the ones in the nosebleed sections.
Right.
You know, who literally spent their last dime that pay period to go to that game. And then you have the people in the lower section that you do see all the time. And those are the ones who are there to be seen.
Or yeah.
There to say, hey, I was at the Laker game yesterday. Did you happen to catch the Laker game yesterday? I was there.
Yes.
And those, I mean, sure, there's some fandom with them, but they're not true fans. They're there more in it for themselves. And that's kind of a problem with L.A. I mean, you know, it's a stereotype of L.A. that actually is kind of true, that, you know, you do things to be seen. And I think there were some people who probably went to this memorial service because I'm going to brag that I went to the memorial service.
Sure,
I have to take off work today, boss, because I am going to the memorial service.
Right, I know.
And, you know, and those are the same type of people who are turning around and going, hey, look, I got a free color booklet. Wife here has a free color booklet. We don't need two.
We don't need two, right?
Let's sell one and make a profit.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Because they probably got it for free. I'm assuming they got it for free.
I think they were, like, the T-shirts, I think, were given to every single person that got in. So.
And you could turn around and sell those for hundreds of dollars right
now. Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing.
So,
goodness.
I don't know.
All right, so the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day. I went from that robbery to an actual bank robbery. A bank robber in Scotland was caught after he had to expose his face.
He had to expose his face.
Yeah, he forgot one essential part to his bank robbing plan, and that was to cut eye holes in his pillowcase.
Oh, well done. So he didn't think, he thought he could see through it well enough.
No, I don't know. I think this might, I'm not going to speculate on this guy's, mentals, but I think he might have wanted to get caught because.
Right.
Basically, what he did is he decided to rob the bank with a hatchet, first of all.
Ew,
pulls the hatchet out of the pillowcase, throws the pillowcase over his head. I just don't think he thought all the way through, because then he had to keep removing his pillowcase to know where the teller was so he could demand the money.
I got a question. I have a question about this, and this is a larger question of this. In 2020, is bank robbing a thing still?
I think it's always going to be a thing.
I think so, too. I think criminals are always find a way around the technology, but it just feels like, you know, because I remember my I had a friend of mine whose father worked at a bank. And I remember it was my friend from college, and I remember going to his house like one weekend. We're hanging out. And his father said years ago when he was a young executive coming up. Now this probably was early 70s, and he said one day three guys came into the bank and robbed the bank. And he goes, and I knew those guys. I couldn't prove it, but the voice sounded familiar. They came in, took the money, and they never got caught. And he goes, I always suspected these guys because, I was naturally curious about, you worked at the bank your whole career. Have you ever been robbed? And he told this story. But his point was, look, three guys came in, like planned this, and they probably all said, till the day we die, we are not saying a word about this, and we'll get away with it. The bank will get reimbursed, right? The insurance will take care of it, and we'll get away with it. But it feels like today there's cameras everywhere. I go into the bank, I say there's cameras everywhere. I go to my local small branch bank every now and then, and I don't go to the bank very much at all because I do everything online. I look up and I go, there's one, there's two, there's, I'm like, how do you get, like, even if you wear a mask, how do you get away with it? Even if you go in well prepared, how do you get away with it?
You'll still see him on TV.
Every now and then you'll see a clown teller mask.
Yeah. Wearing a Halloween mask. He went up to the teller. Wearing a pillowcase and forgot to cut eye holes.
Seriously, it was like you could see back in the old days a group of people going, look, we're going to go to a town way out there. Like we live in Georgia and we're going to drive all the way to North Carolina. We're going to find a small town. We're going to steal a car and then we're going to go in and we're going to rob this small branch. We're not going to hurt anybody. We're just going to take the money and get the hell out of there. And we're never going to get caught.
And we're going to remind everyone too, because it, you see it all the time in the movies. Don't do anything stupid.
Right.
Your money is insured.
Right. They say it all the time in Hollywood, right?
All the time.
Just stay on the ground. We're taking the bank's money, not yours. You're going to get yours back, right? We're just taking the bank's money. And then they get away with it. In 2020, they can take a shot of you robbing the bank and analyze it and find some scratch of skin and go, all right, this is Mark Jones and he lives at 215, Amherst Way. And you're like, wow, how did they do that? Like, technology, man, face recognition software, this, that, and other things. So I'm just curious, if you're a career criminal, is bank robbing still a thing in this modern day?
Right. Or do you find other sources now?
Do you just go online and try to hack people's accounts now and go, now it just saves me the time. Now I don't even have to get any equipment. Why spend money on gas when I can do it from the comfort of my own secure living room? Right? I don't know. It's just a question I got because every time I go into the bank, I look up and go, man, they got me on everything.
Well, there are some banks I go to, they don't even have a teller anymore.
Yeah.
It's just there's an ATM machine in the middle of the room, or you can go into one of the offices and they don't have like that traditional, let me wait in this queue for 5 days before I get to there, because everyone has a long ass problem. But when I get there, I spend 2 minutes.
Yep. Remember when you used to go to the bank, there used to be a line?
Yes.
They used to like have a rope line for you?
That's what I'm talking about. You just kept walking back and forth, back and forth. You don't ever see. That's what I'm saying. You don't even see the teller anymore.
I know. My father used to go to the bank every once a week.
Yeah.
He used to deposit his paycheck, cash, get cash. I was like, how in the world? Every week you did that? That sounds like a big waste of time now. I never go. When I have to go to the bank, I walk in and out. There is nobody in the bank. There is nobody waiting in line.
There's always guys willing to help you out too.
Bro, they want to jump all over you.
Hey,
there's like people.
I haven't talked to someone in 5 years.
Susan over here has been telling me the same story about her cat for the last 2 hours. I can't wait to see somebody. What do you need? Ones? How about pennies? Can I count pennies for you? Please, anything. God.
By the way. Don't touch those lollipops. Not sure how long they've been there for.
That's the good, the bad, and the dumb here on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Michael on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Ron, Worcester Coliseum is real, and saw Judas Priest and Iron Maiden there. See? You challenged us to the Worcester War Memorial Coliseum. Best concert was Grateful Dead in Foxborough in 90. Worst was Rush in Providence, Rhode Island.
All right.
He said last concert was Elton John in Atlanta for $500 a ticket. Ooh. But my wife really wanted to go.
Yeah, that's expensive. Elton needed the money.
Elton's needing the money. What do you mean? The Rocket Man movie didn't make him enough?
Or
not? Still can't live off those Lion King royalties?
Or 30 years of, 40 years of iconic music?
Yeah, what is, when you're Elton John, I mean, you can go back to the Stones or anybody. If you're Elton John, those checks must be just like flowing in on a...
I picture a lot of those guys to be Ty from Caddyshack.
Yeah, right.
You know, where you invite a friend over, like, oh, here's a check for $75,000.
Yours. Right.
Here's another check. You keep it.
It's amazing. Concerts, man. They're not cheap. Well, for some reason, when I was in college, I seemed to be able to afford to go.
Well, see, I always brag about this. It was after college, when before kids. So married before kids. I had a friend who worked for a radio station. So for about 2.5, 3 years, I didn't pay for a college.
Yeah,
college
I did the same thing. Yep. That was I worked the AM side of a 2-station cluster, and the FM side was the classic rock station in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
You know who I saw at a small theater in New Hampshire? Warren Zevon, Werewolves of London guy.
Okay.
I saw him in a small concert in New Hampshire because of the radio station I worked at. So. Yeah, you're right. That's always one of the good perks. But today, I don't know. Concerts, man. If it's $500 a ticket, good for you, man. Good for you, Michael, taking your wife to a concert you wanted to go to. I might have said no.